D-Mace, Fingin, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason and Adam Fingin here with you. Willie Donick en route to Detroit with the Nashville Predators, who take on the Red Wings tomorrow. UC Saros could be in net for the Predators tomorrow. I'm sure a lot of Predators fans would like to see that after Scott Wedgwood had a rough night in the Predators' 4-3 loss to the Dallas Stars last night in the season opener. I want to make one quick correction. It wasn't Wes. It wasn't Les. It was Wes. Our bad Wes. Wes, who asked the final question of Ask D-Mace, wins the pair of Predators tickets to see the team take on the Kraken on Tuesday. We have one pair left. So listen, between now and the end of the show, you will have one more opportunity to win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators at home on Tuesday against the Seattle Kraken. But I teased this before the break. People have already texted in. They know what two words I'm going to mention. Right tackle. If you are a devoted listener of this station, particularly the show that airs between 2 and 6, you've heard the right tackle story God knows how many times. I am convinced, and I've said this once and I'll say it again, that Jared, who announced within the past couple of months that he will be a father very soon. I believe his son is due in December. That kid's first words are going to be right tackle. Little Jared Stillman, big Jared Stillman, is going to be sitting with little Jared Stillman in the rocking chair in the nursery, cradling him, you know, put on the white noise machine, and he's just going to say to him, little Jared Stillman, let me tell you about the time I first talked to Floyd Reese. And I said, Titans are going to be pretty good. The Titans are going to be okay this year, right? And you know what Floyd said to me? We don't have a right tackle. And that kid is going to be out cold. I'm just telling you, little Jared Stillman, his first words are going to be right tackle. But the Titans have a conundrum at right tackle. You could call it that. But the Titans recalled, was it Leroy Watson from the practice squad? Leroy Watson. Not to be confused with Leroy Jenkins. But Leroy Watson was elevated from the practice squad. And it's possible he could start for the Tennessee Titans at right tackle. Maybe it's Nicholas Petit-Frere. According to Brian Callahan, from those who were at his news conference today, Brian Callahan is not naming the starting right tackle for the Tennessee Titans. So we don't know who's going to start at right tackle. And I can't remember, Derek, who this quote is attributed to, but you hear it a lot. The, if you have two starting quarterbacks, you have none.
Yeah.
If you have, how many right tackles have the Titans had at one point this season? Four? Three? Yeah. Four? If you have four right tackles and none of them are good, then you might as well have no right tackles. But this is what Big Callahan, Bill Callahan, said about Leroy Watson and the right tackle position this week.
Yeah, we went through the bye week and looked at everything, you know, in a very, very small sample size with four games. But we learned a lot about ourselves and what we want to accomplish from a technique perspective. And one of those things is being more competitive up front, being more, you know, consistent in our protection. So we've taken, you know, Nick, and we've taken Leroy and Jalen, and all those guys are competing right now. We haven't determined anything as of yet, but we're going to let the week play out and then make a decision here shortly.
You know, you're with Leroy in Cleveland. What did you like about him when he came here? Where have you seen him kind of continue to improve?
Yeah, well, he's an interesting story because he was a tight end in college, and he's progressed, you know, because of his athleticism. It's allowed him, you know, to make the transition into a tackle. He's also gained, you know, the weight and the strength that he needs to play that position. But his feet are a real asset. And so, you know, he's got versatility to flex either side. We even had him at guard. He's even played a lot of guard once the preseason ended. So we like his versatility. We like the athleticism. So, again, you know, if he gets an opportunity on Sunday, you know, it's all in his backyard.
When you have a guy.
That was Bill Callahan discussing Leroy Watson in the right tackle position. Derek, you have been agitated by the lack of competition at key positions that the Titans have had this year. We've talked a lot about the quarterback, obviously. But right tackle, what's going on there, man?
Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. When you got to sit there and you got to say, and after a bye week, well, we had to, you know, reevaluate some things, and we had to, you know, see where, you know, we want, see where things need to be, you know, better. You bring up, well, we got to be more competitive, you know, be more competitive. What? Isn't that your job, is to be competitive? Sports is competition. You're supposed to be competitive as soon as you step on the football field. As soon as the game starts. Matter of fact, before the game even starts, you're supposed to be competitive. And whatever you're doing, whether it's warming up, whether it's getting yourself ready, psyching yourself up, whether compete, being a competitor, going out there and doing the things that you know are the right things to do. Making sure that you do everything during the week that is going to give you the best opportunity to do your job and to do it at a level that is going to be satisfactory or even more than that for your ball club or for your team. I'm not talking about Bill Callahan. I'm talking about the offensive line, the right side in particular. You name three guys. Sound like a group, like a singing group. Three guys, like. That's like, what did you say? Nick, Leroy, and Jalen. Your new group. This is your new duo right here.
Move over, Tony.
Exactly. You got Nick, Leroy, and Jalen. However you want to say the acronyms, you can go ahead and put fill in the blank. But here is the problem. After 5 weeks, you are still playing musical chairs at that position. So much so that you went and brought up or reactivated or brought up to the Leroy Watson. And the best thing you could say about Leroy Watson is, well, he's athletic. He was a former tight end. He has good feet. He can, you know, he can swing from left tackle to right tackle. Hell, we even played him at guard sometimes. So he's one of those movable objects. He doesn't need to be a movable object. He needs to be your right tackle. Whoever's your right tackle needs to be your right tackle. If you're still having a competition, and it's really not a competition because neither one of these guys have shown enough that they deserve to be a starter. So really it's not it's a competition that's who cannot be the worst. That's basically what the competition is. Who cannot be the worst? Not saying that you're not bad, but who's not going to be the worst? What is worse than worse? What word is worse? Worser? I know that's not a word, but worser? Worsest? I'm making up words now.
Worst is the worst.
Yeah, the worstest. Is the worstest.
Bad, worse, worst.
Worstest? I'm making up words. Because that's how it is.
Isn't that a sauce? Worcestershire?
Yeah, Worcestershire sauce.
Yes.
Yes. But I know I'm making light of it. This has been plaguing them for the last three seasons. And I don't know why they still haven't gotten it right. Because if you saw there was a problem after year one, you should have addressed it. Okay. Say you did, but it didn't work out. Year two, you saw that there still was a problem. You should have addressed it, but you didn't. Why? You kept the same people that had the problems last year and the year before. Those same people are the guys that are competing for the right tackle position, which means you have no right tackle. That's what it exactly means. You have no right tackle because just like the quarterback, if you have three quarterbacks, you ain't got one. If you got three right tackles, you ain't got one. And it's just, that's the frustrating part about it, is that you didn't take it serious enough to go out there and whether it be spend the money or really go get a true right tackle, not a guy that can be an experiment, not a guy that, well, he showed a little flash. Well, maybe he can get a little better. Not a converted tight end. No, you need somebody that has played this position and played it at a high level, whether it be in college or in the pros. You got three guys that have not once played this position at a high level. I don't care if it was college or the NFL.
So this may come as a shock to none of you, but I'm a big nerd. Mm-hmm. And so part of that nerddom when I was younger was playing RPG games like Final Fantasy, role-playing games, not like video games. Like, I'm not like dressing up. I'm not like cosplaying as people or anything like that. And in those types of games, you can get attribute boosts. Uh-huh. Like, you can wear a certain armor and it gives your defense rating +3, or a certain weapon and your attack power is +5, and you can advance in that form. I feel like there was this expectation that Bill Callahan, mm-hmm, was going to be an attribute boost for the Titans offensive line. Just by having Bill Callahan on the coaching staff, Nicholas Petit-Frere's rating would go up +2. Mm-hmm. Or Dylan Radins, their attributes would go up +4. J.C. Latham, +5. You know, I'm just throwing arbitrary numbers out there. But my point was that I think there were a lot of people who thought that Bill Callahan's presence would be enough to improve the offensive line. It seems like, and we know that Bill Callahan is an excellent offensive line coach, I feel like we maybe put a little bit too much stock in Bill Callahan's ability to coach this offensive line and to improve this group of offensive linemen.
Yeah, and I bought into it. I bought into it hook, line, and sinker, that Bill Callahan was going to be able to come in here and get this offensive line straight. And it hasn't happened. Why hasn't it happened? Because the guys that you're asking him to get straight, basically you're asking him again to take water and to make it into wine. As good as Bill Callahan is, he's not Jesus, okay? He can't do that. He can't take what's not there and make something out of it. He can't take a guy that isn't a starter. And again, I always go back to this. I'm not going to say you can't play in this league, because if they drafted you, they believe you can play. But you're not a starter in this league. There's a lot of guys that I can say that about. That you're not a starter in this league. You can be a backup, but you're not a starter. The three guys that they are rotating, trying to figure out, none one of those guys are starters. So stop it. Neither one of these guys are starters. And I don't know if there's anything that Bill Callahan can do that can make them into bona fide starters. Can they be a plug for a minute? Yeah, but you're talking about trying to plug a hole that is probably about 3 feet in diameter, you're trying to plug it with a little pin or something. It ain't going to work. It's not going. You're not stopping anything. Each guy that he has put in there that has given an opportunity, what has happened, Adam? It's been the same old things. It's like water running through a strainer. You ain't stopping nothing. You may have a good play here and there, but for the most part, that right side of the line, and I'm talking about the left tackle in particular, I mean the right tackle in particular, they haven't proven their starters in this league. And I don't know if they will ever prove that they are starters in this league. Make no mistake about it. I'm not saying that they can't play in this league. They can't be a backup in this league, because you can. But you're not a starter. Let's just be honest about it. And I think Bill Callahan understands that. I think he truly deep down understands that the three guys that he has vying for that position are not starters in his league. But what is he going to do? He can't do anything but go in week after week, day after day, and try to make this offensive line as good as it can possibly be. But you can't do it when you have three guys that are not starters in this league. They're backup players. And maybe not even the guy that comes in after the starter go down. They may be the guy that comes in after the backup goes down.
the kind of guys that are getting a lot of reps in preseason.
Exactly.
Games.
Absolutely. The guys that are doing the practice squad stuff.
So what we've learned about Bill Callahan, despite how great of a coach he is, he has a sterling reputation. He can't turn chicken bleep into chicken salad.
Yeah.
That's just what it is in the right tackle turnstile, not just, you know, them being unable to stop opposing defenders, but the number of people rotating out of that position.
I'm so upset about this, Adam, because this has never, and I repeat, since 1997, the day we stepped foot here in Nashville and called Nashville, Tennessee, our home, even though we played in Memphis that first year. But the minute we stepped foot here in Nashville, the offensive line was never an issue, ever. The years that I played, the offensive line was never an issue. Even the years that I played in Baltimore, the offensive line wasn't an issue. It became an issue 3 years ago. And y'all can't fix. That's why I'm so upset. That's like if y'all didn't have a running back, I'm like, this organization prides itself on having good running back. That's what they do. From Earl Campbell to Eddie George to Chris Johnson to Derrick Henry and anybody else in the middle. They prided themselves on drafting a running back. They prided themselves at drafting tackles. Look at the tackles throughout the years, starting with Bruce Matthews, B-Hop, and so forth and so on. And right now, for the last 3 years, you haven't been able to find a damn right tackle. That's embarrassing. That's why I'm so upset, because this is an organization that's known for having a good offensive line. If nothing else, you ain't worried about the Titans' offensive line. But now you do, at least the right side.
615-737-1025. We have very strong thoughts about the right tackle position on this station. 615-737-1025. And you can listen to Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders probably talk about the right tackle position and more at John Bon Jovi's Nashville this Sunday for the pregame show from 9:30 to 11:30. They will break down the Titans' Week 6 matchup against the Colts and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, an award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint, and Blue Note Crossroads Burp. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. I still have one more pair of Predators tickets to give away for their Tuesday home game against the Seattle Kraken at Bridgestone Arena. I will give you the cue to call at the end of this segment. So if you've missed out on the first two pairs of tickets, you have one more opportunity on our program to win a pair of tickets for the game on Tuesday. So listen right now. Make sure you don't go anywhere. But Joe is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I believe Joe wants to respond to what you just had to say. Derek, Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Derek, thank you. I'm a truck driver, so if it's loud, I apologize. Mm-hmm. I'm in my truck. I don't know if I'm correct, and I apologize if I'm not, but I thought – Callahan didn't do very well his last two jobs, but that's not my point. My point is I'm looking at different offensive philosophies with the offensive line. I'm looking at, I know it's college ball, but I'm still looking at Army, Navy, when they cut off the cut blocking and the back in blocking that even San Francisco used to use. But my philosophy, my thought process is there's other ways that they can block to get the run game going. Yes, you can always say, yes, Tennessee's always had great offensive tackles. They've always been able to run the ball. It's also a thing to say, hey, if we don't have those monsters, if we don't have those all pros, maybe we have to teach them to block in a different way. And I'll take my answer off the phone. But I'm not from here, but I was driving through, and I liked your rant. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Joe, for listening to the best show in town, the best station in town.
Damn right it is.
So we appreciate that. You know, they're with the scheme that they're running, you know, it's like they're trying to advance, make this advancement. They're trying to go from a predominantly, you know, run-centric or run-based offense to more of a quarterback-centric offense. And I understand why every team is doing it. If you're going to win a Super Bowl, then more than likely you got to have that quarterback underneath center that is going to lead the way in regards to that. But the offensive line, here's what has been my problem with the offensive line. Because just when you think you've gotten one part fixed, another part starts to mess up. You know, they thought that, okay, we're going to go out and draft J.C. Latham. We drafted Skoronski 2 years ago. We bring in Cushenberry. So we got this left side sort of figured out. And then your right side is not playing the way you want them to play. So now you switch over to the right side. But then your left guard isn't playing the brand of football that you want him to play. So if it's not one, it's the other. I'm not sure what Bill Callahan can do at this moment because you're not going to change the offense. They may call plays differently. They may do what I suggested, that, hey, listen, just turn the ball around and give it to the running back. It seems like they are running the football or blocking run plays better than they are protecting the quarterback when he sets up to throw the football. So whatever you're doing in regards to that, just keep doing it until they figure this out. For all five of these guys, not just the right side, but the left side as well, too. The left side has gotten better, but it's not like, you know, the left side still doesn't have their problems. This offensive line as a whole for the last 3 years have been bad. Have they gotten a little bit better this year? Yes, because of the addition of Cushenberry and Latham. But make no mistake about it, when they get ready to pass the ball, we're seeing the same problems over and over and over again. And I'm not sure if there's anything at this particular time that Bill Callahan can do to make this offensive line better, other than possibly going to get some guys that haven't signed or that are free agents that are just sitting at home. Maybe they're better than the guys you have on the right side now. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it, because if that was the case, they would have went out and got those guys to bring them in. So they're in the position right now, you know what? We're just throwing things against the wall and hoping that it stick. That's why they have this open competition after 5 weeks of the NFL season. I'm not sure there's any other team in the league that is having a competition at a position on the offensive line unless there's injury involved. But if there's no injury involved, teams typically is like, oh, listen, whatever problems we have, we're going to work it out with the five we have. Because we can't keep, you know, we can't make this a musical chairs. We can't keep rotating guys in and out. Because when you do that, what happens? You can't build any continuity. So the two problems they have is, one, it's glaring. They're not good on the right side. And then two, there's no continuity because they're not good on the right side because you keep switching them. So you're never going to fix this problem. You're never going to fix this problem. You're trying to fix a leak with scotch tape. You can't do it. And I don't know what you can do. So that's the dilemma they're in. That's why I said there's nothing Bill Callahan at this particular time can do unless these guys just figure it out on their own. He can't teach them no more than what he's already taught them.
I don't have a lot of faith in their ability to figure it out for the reasons you laid out. I would have to imagine, this is a completely anecdotal because I haven't looked at every other offensive line situation in the NFL. I'm pretty confident in saying that the Titans may be the only one that are still trying to figure out right tackle for the purpose of, we don't know what to do with that position. Not, as you said, because someone's injured, we need to find someone who can fill in for an injured starter. It's, well, we're just going to keep trotting certain guys out there until one of them hopefully figures it out.
Yeah, and at this point, because I know he talked about Leroy Watson and him being a former tight end, and, you know, but these are projects. You don't need projects on the right side of the line. You need guys that can play. Oh, and then I forgot, I left out Taylor Lewan as far as, you know, guys that have been at that position and done a hell of a job. So you go from Taylor, Brad Hopkins, Bruce Matthews, all those guys that played the tackle position, left or right. They've done an excellent job up until the last 3 years. Conklin, all these guys. They've done an excellent job up until the last 3 years, and I don't know what's going on. But this is not something you can fix. It's not – I am telling people, the right side of the offensive line, it's not going to get fixed. Two reasons I've already told you 2 minutes ago. One, because they don't have a right tackle. They don't. They don't have a starter. And two, there's no continuity. And there never will be continuity because you feel every week we got a – whoever plays well that week of practice. Just think about that, Adam. Whoever plays well that week, because that's what they're saying. Whoever plays well that week, you will be the starter. How much continuity can you build? So if I'm Dylan Raiden at the right guard position, I'm like, every week is somebody different. Every rep in practice or every four reps in practice is somebody different. How can I get used to the guy next to me? So not only are you do you not have a right tackle, but you're making your right guard worse because he has nobody to depend on other than the center.
Mark in Nashville is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, my guy?
What's going on?
Mark, it's been a minute. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm back. Been a little out of service here. Been trying to get over some injuries and stuff,
okay, Adam. Well, but you know, I hope you're healthy now, man.
Yeah, I'm healthy, and D-Maze. So, D-Maze, I'm going to start calling you Cred Lee Dollar, man. You're preaching. You've been preaching all week, Cred Lee. You've been preaching, man. And you know, everything you're saying, you know, is true, man, about what you're saying about the offensive line. I always thought, D-Maze, when they had the eighth pick and took Sharonsky, I would have traded back and established multiple picks. That was the reason I was saying that. They needed more than a offensive guard, left tackle. They needed a right tackle then. This year they could have done the same thing, but they didn't. And there's no excuse for that being a problem with them as far as having a right tackle or whatever, whatnot. And before I go, Adam, I wanted to tell you something, man. I'm proud of you, dude. You know, you got your – big boy job. You're doing well. You're with some good guys there and stuff. I'm proud of you, man. I wanted to congratulate you on that.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Hey, where's Willie at?
Willie is on his way with the Predators to Detroit because the Predators play in Detroit. So he is not in the studio, but we will pass along your message to Willie if you have one.
Yeah, tell Willie when he come back, we're looking at – D-Mace, don't get mad at me for saying Detroit's out of it. But we're looking at an all – New York Subway Series. I like the Yankees, but the Reds are my team. We're sorry, but hopefully Francona does something with us. But at the same time, New York Mets in six, they'll defeat the Yankees, and they'll bring the first World Series to Flushing Meadows, New York. Go Mets. Y'all have a good weekend, man.
All right, Mark. You too. No, Willie. I'm glad Willie didn't hear that.
He didn't want to hear it. Willie don't want to hear
that. Did you hear Willie yesterday when we were, like, when we were doing our Predators questions, and I wanted a round they were going to, and he was like, I can't say. No, you gotta say.
Hey, listen, Mark, don't count my Tigers out either. I know they lost yesterday. The series is tied 2-2.
The game time for that game, by the way, has changed again. I believe it has changed three times.
They're in Cleveland, right?
They are in Cleveland. I believe, like I said, I think yes, it has now been the Tiger. This is from Bob Nightingale of USA Today. The Tigers Guardians have now set the MLB postseason record. I don't know if that's true or not, by having three different start times in 12 hours. It was originally at 4 Eastern Saturday. It was moved to 8 when the Yankees clinched the ALDS, and now it is moved to 1 because of bad weather coming to Cleveland. So now Game 5, Tigers Guardians at 1. Tomorrow, 1 Eastern, noon Central.
Well, that means we get to kick their butts earlier. That's all that means, you know. But, again, I go back to, it's sort of this trickle-down effect. And everything stems from the right tackle. And he's right. When they drafted Peter Skoronski, I am going to be honest. I said, listen, give the guy a chance. You know, he's not a tackle. He's a guard, but give him a chance to play the guard position. And everybody was screaming they needed a left tackle, and you were right. They needed a left tackle, but hopefully they've got their left tackle now with J.C. Latham. Maybe it was just a year too late. I mean, not a year too late, but a year later where they probably should have addressed the right tackle position rather than the left guard position. But it is what it is. It just, I'm not sure that even with the tutelage of Bill Callahan, I still don't think that right side, in particular the right tackle, is going to work out for the Tennessee Titans the way they want it to work out. These guys can be depth pieces, but they're not starters. And what happens is, as I said before, it's a trickle-down effect. It affects your left. It affects your right guard. That's who it directly affects. Other than the quarterback, it directly affects your right guard. Because those two guys got to work in tandem along with the center. All these guys got to work as a cohesive unit. Right now, they're not. And one of the reasons is you keep playing musical chairs. I've never been in a situation where I went in a locker room and I didn't know who my right tackle or my right tackle was going to be. Never, ever. Not even in training camp. We knew who our right tackle was. Now, we may have lost a guy due to injury, and then they're trying to figure it out then. But if everybody's healthy, I've never walked into a locker room where I was questioning or the team was questioning the right tackle position or offensive line position. Ever. And that's what they're doing here in Nashville. And it's not going to work out well because they have no one that can play that position at a high level. I'm not saying they don't have no one that can play that position. They just have no one that can be a starter in this league. Nicholas, Leroy, and Jalen, they're good enough to play in the league. Yes, they are. I'm not going to, disrespect them like that. They're good enough to play in the NFL. But there's a difference between good enough to play in the NFL and good enough to be a starter. Right now, and I don't think it's going to change, these three guys that they keep playing musical chairs with, they're not good enough to be starters in this league.
615-737-1025. If you are caller number four, caller number four will win the final pair of Predators tickets for their home game against the Kraken on Tuesday. Caller number four at 615-737-1025. We will take it to the bank. Coming up next, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.
Here comes the money.
And you can take that to the bank.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
It is time to take it to the bank, which we do every Friday at 1:45. Presented by our friends at F&M Bank. So, David Janes is in the chair once occupied by Nick Frazier. David, I'm sure Nick has filled you in on his weird scoring system.
Yeah, yes, I have the mathematical formula that he has to be able to score these games.
Okay, that's very good. All right, so let's review our picks from last week.
So, Willie, he had the Jags -3. It looks like, I believe that was correct. I think that looks like that's what it was an okay. And then Bengals +2.5. Go Baltimore Ravens, baby, with a score of 4 points. D-Mace, you had Tigers game 1 win. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. So, sorry, bud.
No.
And 2 home runs. At least there was 1 home run, so you got 0.5 for that one.
Okay.
And then I believe it looks like Diego to score a touchdown, I think 92-yard touchdown. That didn't happen. It was a rushing touchdown. Mm-hmm. And then Henry to 100 rushing yards. That also didn't happen. Dang. But the Aces won. So yes, that, you got points for that. So it's 3 points. Adam, you had Diggs touchdown. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. The Jags did win, though, so that's a point right there. Vandy did cover, and Stamkos didn't get a goal, so that didn't happen.
But so how many points do I get?
You get 5.
Hot diggity.
There you go.
All right.
And Nick, oh, man, Nick had a day. Vandy win outright. Mm. That's check. Tennessee win. That obviously didn't happen. And then NBA, they did win. So he got a point right there. And so he had a total of 8 points right there.
He should have got a 10-pointer for that.
Honestly,
Mandy,
honestly. Yeah, that's what I would have done. I would have given him 10 points. But it's his scoring system, okay. So I had to live by his.
All right, so quickly, let's go through our picks out for Take It to the Bank, presented by F&M Bank, banking made easy on purpose. I'll go through mine quickly. I'm going to go back to the well, the one thing I do every week, and it works like a charm. Will Levis will commit at least one turnover versus the Indianapolis Colts. Works every week. Will Levis, one turnover against the Colts. Tony Pollard will rush for at least 100 yards against the Colts. They've given up 159 yards to Joe Mixon, 151 yards to Josh Jacobs, and 101 yards to Tank Bigsby on the ground. So Tony Pollard will join the 100-yard against the Colts club on the ground. The Volunteers will defeat Florida by at least 17 points. They will rebound from their loss against Arkansas. And Derek's Tigers will win tomorrow and advance to the ALCS to take on the New York Yankees.
Okay, I like that. I like that. All right, Dan. For me, I predict a Chigakonkwo touchdown. So that's one. A Tony Pollard touchdown. And I predict that Will Levis will throw at least one touchdown.
So there we go.
He would have had to throw a touchdown because he would have thrown it to Chigakonkwo. So there we go. So I had to say it.
Did Willie send you his picks?
He did not.
Okay. As long as he gets them in before end of business, they count. Do you have any picks, David?
So, of course, I'd have a pick. Obviously, so for those who don't know, I'm a diehard Tennessee Vol hater, so I will pick Florida beating the Tennessee Vols.
That would be bad.
That would be incredible for me, at least. I think the Tigers are going to win, so I'm going to give them making it to play against the Yankees just because go Tigers, baby. And again, I'll also pick, because I am an LSU Tiger fan, go LSU Tigers. They're going to beat Ole Miss at Death Valley.
We were just talking about this game during the break, Derek and I.
Exactly, yeah. Who needs this game more, Lane Kiffin or Brian Kelly?
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I would tend to say Brian Kelly because I think he's on thin ice there in Baton Rouge. But because Ole Miss has already lost the game they shouldn't have lost, I think, you know, Lane Kiffin too, man. Because you gave all this NIL money out. You got all these transfers in here. And this was supposed to be the year that y'all did, you know, do the thing, get in the playoffs and win it. And y'all have already lost once. If y'all lose again, man, oh, man. Because they still got Bama, don't they?
Tennessee still has who has?
I'm talking about Ole Miss.
Oh, Ole Miss.
Ole Miss still has.
That's a good
question.
Tennessee also has Alabama. Yeah.
I don't think Ole Miss plays Alabama.
Who they play? Is it Georgia this year? They got one of Georgia, Texas, one of the top teams.
I got you. One second.
They still have to.
Ole Miss still has Georgia.
Yeah.
They play Oklahoma following LSU, but they have a home game against Georgia on November 9th.
So that's their – that could potentially be the hardest game they have left remaining on their schedule.
Yeah.
So they can't afford – they, too, can't afford to lose this game, because if you lose this game, the Georgia game is a must-win. So, I don't know.
We'll see.
Oh, Lane Kiffin.
I'm feeling good about my Will Levis commits at least one turnover bit because it works every week.
It should work, honestly.
It
works.
No, I mean, until he stops doing it, I'm just going to keep picking it.
I mean, you're going with, you know, his history. The trend.
I'm interested to see what that quarterback matchup is like. Anthony Richardson is a hell of a prospect and has the ability to do some incredible things on the field, but he's struggling just like Will Levis. His numbers are just as bad. Same number of interceptions, injury issues. It's going to be a fascinating game.
What's your prediction for tomorrow? I mean, for Sunday?
I will say Titans win 17-13.
Man, so they don't even score over 21 points, huh?
No.
Damn, they still can't vote.
17-13 Titans. What about you, Dan? Well, wait.
I got to say
save yours for the award-winning pregame show at 9:30 on Sunday. I say Titans win 17-13. We will be back on Monday at 11 to break down the Titans game against the Colts and much more. Stone & Company coming up next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Be love on your people. Have a wonderful and blessed Friday. Peace.